Well, hello, my little creepies. Oh, yes. It's that time again. We talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, paranormal, true crime, and conspiracy stories, and all things creepy. Yes, this is The Creepy Show. You can find us online at creepy.show. And I'm your host, the Master of Creep.
Tonight's episode is called Camping with Bigfoot. This comes from James and his two sons, who took a camping trip up in the Pacific Northwest back in 2004. I'm going to report this verbatim as told to me by James and his two sons. My name is James, and I took my two sons, Joey and David, on a week-long camping trip at Cougar Rock Campgrounds at the base of Mount Rainier. On a clear day, you can see Mount Rainier from my home in Seattle. Mount Rainier is a massive glacier-clad volcano peaking at 14,409 feet and dominating the skyline for 100 miles. We decided to go in early August in 2004 before school was scheduled to start. Cougar Rock Campgrounds is a well-known and very busy camping park. It requires a reservation several months in advance. Even though there are more than 170 campsites, they are almost always full each night during the busy season. Even during the month of August, the nights are quite cool due to the 3,180-foot elevation of the camp. Cougar Rock Campgrounds is on the southwest side of Mount Rainier National Park, and it is close to the Paradise area. Paradise is the most popular destination in the area because of the spectacular views of Mount Rainier's 14,409-foot snow-covered peak. We got our campsite set up and decided to do some hiking and maybe a little rock climbing. David, who just turned 14, loves to climb, while his younger brother Joey prefers fishing. Most of the trails in the park are circular in nature, so if you walk long enough, you'll often end up back in the same place where you started. That is, unless you decide to venture off the trails, which is not recommended. Our first night was very interesting. We listened to the sounds of nature in the forest and tried to identify each sound. The most prominent was an owl, which seemed to be a few hundred yards away. We also heard wood cracking, like a very large animal was walking over some small branches. We determined that it was probably an elk. Off in the distance, we heard a strange howl. What was that? Never heard that before. Sounds pretty far away. The next morning, we talked about the strange howl and speculated that it must have been something big, whatever it was. Later, we met up with a family that was camping next to us, just about 50 yards down the road. And they said the howling woke them up, and they too wondered what could it be. During the day, we went hiking down some trails and did a little rock climbing. We decided to meet up with the family camping next to us and cook dinner together. That night, we all met at our new friend's campsite and made a nice fire. The campground doesn't allow anyone to use firewood from the park, even if it's falling dead wood. You must bring your own wood for fires, or you can buy wood at the stores just outside of the camping area. Well, we had a nice fire going, and we cooked hobo stew. And that's where you put meat and vegetables and spices together and triple wrap them in aluminum foil into a ball. And then you bury them in the hot coals, and you place a few hot coals on top. After about 25 minutes, You pull your aluminum ball out of the coals and you open it up for a delicious hot meal. After dinner, we were all sitting around the campfire when we heard that same howling again, but this time it seemed to be much closer, like it was coming from a little open area of tall grass just about 100 yards away. We also heard a knocking sound, like someone hitting a tree with a large piece of wood. Not the same kind of sound you normally hear when an animal is walking through the twigs. This was much different. It had a much different sound and it had a steady rhythm about it. The next morning, we all got together and decided to go to the area where we thought the howling was coming from. We found some sticks on the ground next to a falling log. I picked up the stick and I hit the log a few times, and that was the exact sound that we heard the night before. We also found some large footprints that look human-like, but were much larger than any foot I have ever seen. I estimated that the footprint was about 14 inches long and about 7 inches wide. This must be a Bigfoot, or maybe someone just playing a prank on us. But why would anybody do this? It just doesn't make any sense. Why would somebody want to scare us at night? Maybe they want us to leave the campsite. I was convinced that someone, for some reason, wants to scare us out of the area, but why? I decided to stake out the area just before dark and catch them in the act and get to the bottom of this. I talked to the other family who was camping next door, and we decided to do this together. We made a makeshift blind that we could use to hide behind to give us a great view of the area, and we occupied it just before dark. We waited and waited, but nothing happened. About midnight, we decided to go back to our campsites. But when we returned, we found that someone or something had disrupted our campsite. Nothing was really destroyed. However, our food was missing. We also found that the same footprints were all around the area. This was no animal. We were simply outsmarted. When we were down on the trail in our blinds, something was busy stealing our food. It seemed like some sort of a setup, like was planned. And I am assuming whatever did this had done this before to other people. Anyway, our Bigfoot was a skilled thief. We sat around the fire till about 3 a.m., just wondering and speculating about our adventure. The next morning, we went back down to the blind area and found that someone or something had been there. All of our stolen food and or what was left of it was scattered all around, and it was a big mess. There were empty potato chip bags, candy wrappers, uncooked chicken bones, half-eaten loaves of bread, and a lot of other stuff scattered all around. It looks like Bigfoot had a real feast here. We cleaned up the mess and packed it out to a dumpster at the campground's main office. While we were there, we talked to the forest ranger at the office and told him what had happened. He said, "It's most likely a bear." "No, that's not a bear," I said. "I doubt if a bear would be that precise. The campground wasn't torn up, as a bear would do. It seemed like whatever took our food had enough knowledge to know where to look without tearing everything up. Our ice chest was unlatched and opened, and the food was removed. Our tents were not flattened, and the garbage cans were not disturbed. If that had been a bear, the garbage cans would have been a mess." The forest ranger said, "This kind of thing has happened in the past, but since no one was ever hurt or attacked, most of the incidents are generally ignored. It's like Bigfoot and the forest ranger have some sort of agreement or something. He doesn't really hurt anyone, and the forest ranger leaves him alone." The last night of our camping trip was the most active. Again, we heard the howling, the yelling, the screams. But this time, we did not go down to investigate. The other family camping next to us agreed to go look for the source of the sound, while we stayed behind. We weren't going to fall for the same trick again. We heard wood knocking and howling for about an hour, and then it all stopped. We hid in our campsites, waiting for Bigfoot to come up and steal more food, as he did before. We waited in the bed of our pickup truck out of sight. We heard something walking through the brush next to our campsite. It seemed very large and heavy based on the twigs breaking under its weight as it walked. We peeked over the top of the pickup truck just in time to see a large, hairy gorilla-type man standing in the middle of our camp, looking into our tents and ice chest. I'm just sorry we didn't get a picture, but back in 2004, we didn't have a camera on our flip phone. He was close enough for us to hear his heavy breathing, and he smelled like an old carpet burning in a barrel, an odor I will never forget. Bigfoot quickly turned and our eyes locked to each other. For a split second, I thought he was going to attack us, but then he ran into the forest in the opposite direction. No one in our group even thought about chasing him. First of all, he was too fast. Plus, the last thing I would want to do is try to corner a Bigfoot. I felt that if he was provoked, he could tear us in half with little effort on his part. He looked massive. We left the campsite with an understanding that sometimes you just don't want to mess around with nature. We felt lucky to have the experience without getting injured and decided to leave Bigfoot alone. Since our vacation, I started talking to other people who have experienced Bigfoot encounters, and now I have a much better understanding and belief that Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch, is alive and well. After doing some research, I also learned that Bigfoot has been around a really long time. Stories have been told and recorded, such as one by Reverend Walker in 1840. Walker, a Protestant missionary, recorded stories of giants among the Indians living near Spokane, Washington. The Indians said that these giants live around the peaks of nearby mountains and stole salmon from their fishing nets. You know, a lot of people think Bigfoot doesn't exist, but try telling that to James and his two sons.
As the casket closes on another creepy episode, we bid you farewell to the shadows that danced upon your fears. Oh, and thank you for joining us on this creepy journey into the unknown, where the darkness whispers secrets and the silence echoes within your soul. Find us online for some extra creepy content at creepy.show. And if you happen to make it through the night, don't forget to share this podcast with someone you want to terrorize. Good night, my little creepies. Sleep with one eye open, for the night is long and full of horror.
Ha 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 ha